Lord God, we pause and just tell you that that we need you. I pray that even now, even today, that you would convince us, you'd help us to see the reality of our situation, that we don't have what it takes. We don't have what it takes within ourselves to pursue you the way we're supposed to be the men we've been called to be. And so we come to you and say, please, God, come and move. Be in our midst. Help us to walk in the power of your Spirit today. We pray that you bless this time and these friendships. We thank you for this group that you've brought together, and just ask that over this next hour that you bless our conversation and help it to spur us on towards you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For Prinya. All right, how did your spiritual gifts inventory go? Let's hear everybody's results. Get them out. We want to see your chart. Was anything revealing, unexpected? Just what you thought? What do we think? We'll start over here with Cleary and work around. I want to hear kind of top two, top three. Where'd you see kind of your strengths?
Top one was exhortation.
Okay. The rest of us are not. That's oftentimes the way the gifts work, though. The community's like, yes, obviously. And oftentimes we're like, oh, I had no idea.
I guess the thing that did surprise me is that it was like 5 or 6 points ahead of every other one.
So really? So it definitely emerged as... Okay.
And then the other like ones that were tied were wisdom and evangelism.
Okay. So it's definitely one of the distinctions. I guess you didn't read the chapters in Grudem. He points to 1 Peter 4:11 as kind of one of the summary verses for the gifts. Whatever, if anyone speaks, let him speak as if it were the very words of God. If anyone serves, let him serve with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God would be glorified, and that all, in all things God would be glorified through Christ Jesus. And so it's real evident that on yours, we've got all the word gifts are kind of emerging. And so one of your gifts is going to be the way that you speak and interact with the community, the way that you're encouraging, the way that you are seeing clearly into gray areas and speaking wisely. But these are going to be areas that as you continue to grow in the Spirit, those areas will continue to grow. And that's going to be... So you're definitely on the word-heavy side, which I'm like that as well, that both to believers and unbelievers, that evangelism and wisdom and exhortation, that you are, which the gift that you have been given is the words that you have. Not to the neglect of the others, but that's huge. That's a huge gift, so it's cool. Drex, what'd you identify?
Top two were exhortation and giving, and behind them were... faith and service/help.
Were you surprised by any of that?
No.
That was kind of like, yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Members with the gift of giving give freely and joyfully to the work and mission of the body. Cheerfulness and liberality are characteristics of individuals with this gift. Sounds like they wrote about Drexel, right? Cheerfulness and liberality are characters of individual. And you said faith and...
service.
And service. Yeah, I saw you carrying rocks in Haiti. That's no surprise to me, man. And I know that to be true of you, Drexel, that in some ways, it's one of the beautiful things where you can even see y'all's friendship through the years, how you complement each other so well, too. That and you will real quickly start seeing this, the way that the body starts to come together. Is that someone in the house?
Yeah, in the attic.
In the attic, sure.
Cool.
Okay. Whatever. That all of a sudden you see the way that we need the body. Real quickly, even in the first two, you've got someone with giving and with service that is willing to kind of be working behind the scenes and making things happen, that has the faith to encourage others in the bunch, that, man, God's in this, he can do this. And then you've got a mouthpiece here that can start speaking into it, that already you see the way that we complement each other. That nobody's going to have all of them, but we all bring what we've got. Bill, what?
So I think Drexel and I are the same. Giving, service, exhortation.
Yeah.
And then I have administration as well.
Yeah.
Those are, I'm the behind the scenes person.
Yeah. Which is so good. I mean, in a lot of ways, becomes the heartbeat, the engine of the life of the church, the ministry. That there will be people that maybe are more verbal and more out front, but it's folks like that that all of a sudden that keep the wheels churning and make things happen, and that oftentimes are the unsung heroes, but also the ones that like tremendous fruit being produced because of the work that's being done. That's awesome. And administration, we need it. That's one of those that can easily be like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's such a huge deal for the kingdom. So
kind of like the guy in the office space with the cup.
No.
That's me.
Not even close.
So,
exactly,
no.
That's me. Don't think of that guy. Okay.
No, man. Not even close. Shingo, anything surprise you on yours?
I was surprised by exhortation and... It wasn't my highest, but it was higher than I expected, which I didn't expect at all.
Yeah.
And then two that I was not really surprised by were mercy and service.
Mercy. Were those two of your highest?
Those were my highest, yeah.
So
they're all high. All of them were high.
Okay, but one, two, three, just so I can get a picture.
Well, it was faith, exhortation, mercy, and service. Wisdom was higher than I expected, but it wasn't like that.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Cool. Shingo, I love it. The mercy gifts. That your heart is so readily in line with God's, that you recognize the brokenness around you and want to respond to it. It's going to be you in a lot of ways help the church maintain its prophetic edge and its ability to step out. And so that's one that as you continue to grow with the Lord, like allow him to push you into areas that are uncomfortable. Like the mercy gift will carry you to places that you wouldn't expect yourself to be, areas of great need where you feel like you can meet those needs. And then especially with exhortation as well, you can call others to be a part of that. Like that's one of those things where you can help us see the heart of God and the brokenness around us. So that's huge. JB? Yeah, I could see that. I was going to guess those for you. Knowledge and mercy. James, your brain is a gift from God. And I think we all need to recognize everything that we've been given, everything that we have to leverage, ultimately is a gift from God. That James tells us that he's the giver of all good gifts, and your ability to think clearly and critically and insightfully is something that God has given you that the Holy Spirit is looking to leverage for the kingdom. And so it's not for yourself, it's for the kingdom. And so you're a clear thinker that can bring that to bear on the scriptures and the way that you're interacting with the community. And I knew mercy to be the case, the way you watch your brothers, the way that you hurt for anyone that's the one being left out or looked down on. That's God's heart. For the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, that's mercy, which you certainly have. That's cool. Do you see that? I mean, we're starting to see with each one of us, we've got maybe one or two lines that are up here, but when all of a sudden we're linked arm in arm, I'm starting to fill it in here, and it's like, okay, we've got that. Like you start to see, like together we're across the board. You can say, I don't have it, but with you guys, we've got the Spirit working in all of these areas, which is one more reason why we know we need each other. Amen.
My top three were hospitality, giving,
complicated exhortation.
Hmm. So the parties will be at AMAX. Mr. Hospitality. Any of that surprise you?
Kind of.
How so?
Well, I guess not really. I mean, giving kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
That could be pretty.
Must have been a good person.
Yeah. And it raises, once you start to identify, one, this is not the end-all, be-all. We talked about that. Ultimately, these things are going to come out organically. It may not identify some gifts you have, and it may be, I mean, we've got to recognize this isn't foolproof. But as you start to identify things that are raising up above others, exercise them. Like, this is where we're going to feel alive, or we're going to start seeing God produce fruit in our lives. Like, if we're able to say, this is where I know I'm seeing this kind of trajectory in life, this is where strength lies for you, giving and hospitality, actively pursue those gifts. Like, okay, what are ways that you can be pouring yourself out, ways that you can be opening up your house, giving of your things, and seeing the way that God produces fruit in that? And likewise with exhortation, a lot of us have this gift. That's kind of been a theme. Actively speaking words of encouragement around us and seeing the way the Spirit uses that. Don't just be like, oh, that's nice. Think, okay, now how do I leverage my administrative gifts? How do I do it?
I've got giving, administration, and exhortation.
Giving, administration, and exhortation. Yeah, I could. Giving. Everybody, would you guys have guessed that about Taylor?
I would have guessed administration.
Yeah, I was saying about that last night when I got my Facebook message from him. You guys get your messages from him? I was so encouraged. Like, I was almost in tears sitting there, and I was thinking, here's a guy that beforehand you told me teaching, you know, I don't feel like it's like my thing, but I'm willing to do it, and you did a very faithful job, but that what you're doing is you're leveraging the gifts that you do have. You think detailed, like you can follow through with things well, you've got the administrative gift, and so maybe the upfront teaching, you're not going to just hit a grand slam every time, but what you can do is use your gifts to continue to bless the community. Last night I was sitting there going, this is a guy that used his administrative gift, his ability to be detailed and to follow through, and I'm sitting on my couch feeling like, wow, like the Lord's in this, and I'm encouraged to pray. I'm encouraged to have faith that God really can do a work in this person's life that I'm praying for. And so that was a beautiful example last night of me, like you leveraging your gifts for the sake of the kingdom that all of us are being blessed by. So keep using those things. It's awesome. Tim?
Top three, shepherding, wisdom, teaching.
Anybody surprised by that?
I'm just surprised.
Shot.
I'm surprised giving wasn't on there.
Yeah, where was that, Tim?
And then would be administration, knowledge, giving.
Administration, knowledge, giving.
Is that like what you got in 24?
Yeah. Is your bar graph, is it just filled, Tim?
It's just
did you just highlight the whole thing? No. Tim, we're blessed by your gifts. It is fun that all of us, and I will say this, the more you're in tune with the Spirit, like the more, the longer we walk, the more God grows in us, the more you display gifts that maybe aren't your strong point, but God empowers you to be what you're needed in a time and a place, such that maybe it's not, some of the things that we've seen in Tim or in other people in this room, it might not be their natural gifting, it might not be their natural inclination, but the Spirit empowers and helps them to be what we need them to be as a blessing to the community. And so in some ways it is like, I've seen all of these at different points in Tim. But there are things that are, and you have, but.
Giving is a learned, in part, it's a learned trait from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And in part it's easy when you have too much.
Is shepherding number one?
It was teaching, and then wisdom and shepherding came next.
Gotcha.
Like, appointed part.
Gotcha. How many of you have gotten to see Tim on your college campus at your, or seen him during the year? And he's trying to figure out how to get to Wales this year. That's a shepherd. One that says, my sheep, like wherever they go, I care for them. I know their name. When you talk about Jesus talking about being the good shepherd, they know my voice. I know their voice. I care about them. Just pay attention. Like, he's not showing up for any other reason than it's motivated by this genuine spirit love. So it's cool. Our shepherd, among other things. Yeah, Snyder, right? Yeah, that's the next one.
Yeah.
Hey, I haven't gotten the machine either.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, you guys got to hang out in California. It counts.
Michigan's like, ugh.
Spirit can only go so far.
I tried. It was
all right, Snyder.
My top three were service / helps.
Uh-huh.
Mercy and discernment.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd see that about you. And that gift of discernment goes a long way. Being able to see clearly in a situation, it oftentimes is linked with wisdom, but the ability to, what's really going on here? What's really operating in the system? That could even be part of your solution, problem solving engineer. Like, you've got an ability to crack things open and to make sense of it. And as the Spirit gets a hold of that and operates it within the community, like, there can be things where your ability to discern a scenario, especially in you said mercy and service, huh? It's awesome, because as you're able to discern what's going on in a situation, that you also have the heart to respond in service and mercy gifts. So in some ways, those are going to be beautiful compliments that you'll end up blessing a lot of people if you let those gifts operate at their fullest extent. That's cool. Okay.
Wisdom and exhortation.
Yeah. Yeah, Jaywatt. You're like a sage. Wisdom and exhortation. Was there anything else that was surprising or that was on your list?
There were like four others tied below that.
What were they?
Teaching, knowledge, service, mercy were all tied.
Yeah. Yeah. I do feel like on Sunday nights, I'm sure you guys have felt this, the combination of wisdom and exhortation allows John to be just such a gift in a situation like a Sunday night, where you're sharing your heart and you have someone that can see the situation. He asks really good questions and he speaks into it with just, have you thought about this? Do you see this? That, and when you do that, you have an ability to apply the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the broken places of our hearts and deep places that we wouldn't know how to do without you. Wisdom and exhortation allows you to do that. And so leverage it, use it, like continually engage people's lives, ask questions, and then speak the word of encouragement. Because with wisdom and exhortation, it's like you can see deeper into someone's heart, you can see deeper into the situation, and with the gift of exhortation, when you apply that at that kind of level, you make people feel like, oh my gosh, like the Spirit's moving in places I didn't know he even needed to, and John's the one that's allowing that to happen. That combination of gifts is huge. That's cool. Build a thrill.
My copy was missing the scoring sheet, so I just found out there was scoring this morning.
Oh,
I'm
shoot.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Okay. You can get back to us. Or I can just tell you. I'm just kidding. I mean, I think we probably have some ideas about, but I'll wait and hear from you. To Gal, acting?
My top one was mercy, and then service and helps and hospitality.
Yeah. What were your thoughts when you were reading the descriptions of those things? Did you feel like?
I agree with mercy. That I was kind of surprised with some of it, but I agree with a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely seen those things in you. I think you've got when you guys agree, I mean, when we see in David, like, we see a totally compassionate heart. Like, I feel like he's a guy that just, he feels people's pain with him. He really enters that place. Like, I feel like that's a, that combination of things, of mercy, of service and helps, like, that, that's like the, in the best terms possible, like the bleeding heart scenario, like the mercy with the service and helps is that I feel the brokenness of the situation, I see people that are suffering, and then I want to go and meet those needs. Tremendous gift to the church, to the kingdom. And I see it in you for sure. Travis?
What's your major?
Major?
Psychology and theater. Okay, so...
And psychology is a... I mean, with mercy gifts, like, that is kind of running in line with a strength there. It's a good... Yeah.
So I got faith and discernment. It's my top two. And then there's leadership and wisdom and hospitality. All right, next.
Wait, say that. Wisdom, hospitality...
And leadership.
For sure. Yeah, I was wondering where that one was coming. What were your thoughts in filling it out? Did you have any?
I mean, I guess, like, it made sense that faith is pretty... was a high one because I don't ever feel, like, desperate or lost, and I always feel like God has a plan, and there's nothing that, like, ever is way too heavy on me that I felt helpless. But then, like, some of the lower ones were apostleship and evangelism, and I thought that was kind of alarming, because I definitely feel like those are some of the things that, like, reading through Acts and through most of the New Testament are very important, and the fact that those are, like, two of my lowest kind of concerns me, I guess.
And you raise a good point. This is a good reminder that we mentioned last week, but it's good to circle back to. Some gifts are also callings, and so we still step into those things, and the Spirit meets us and moves in those places, evangelism being one of them, that we don't say, my bar is low, so I don't do it. We just say, it's going to be the case that there are other people in the community where it comes more naturally to, or there's more fruit born in that place, but it doesn't mean that we don't continue to prayerfully engage it, and just like we said too, the Spirit moves and it equips when it's needed. And so don't let it be discouragement by any means, but also it's a good reminder that there are certain things that we're going to be called to do where God will supply what we need in those moments. And you said evangelism, and what was the other one that you...
Apostleship.
Yeah. And that's it's interesting. That's the case in... So did anybody... I was paying attention. There's apostleship was one that... Did anybody mention apostleship is high on their list? And then prophecy. Anything come up for... Nobody mentioned that.
Or it's up there thus far.
Okay. You're almost there.
Yeah.
We'll let you get to your conclusion, but that's... yeah, and it's interesting because apostleship... And even the prophetic gifts, some of these others that they're a little bit more rare, but that's the deal, is that there's someone that the apostleship often comes with, like, leadership gift. I think you were the only one who mentioned leadership as something that was at least registering. But those two things, the willingness to step out and to lead, is oftentimes what galvanizes the other gifts. And so they're not necessarily as frequent, but God will drop one in a community and say, they're going to step out and lead, and then all of a sudden you've got a service and a helps and a mercy and a who kind of galvanize around it. And so it's one of those things that we have in this community, kind of all the makings of the way that the community, the way that the church is going to function most beautifully in the world, and that will galvanize around some of these gifts. And so anyway, love it. My word of encouragement to you guys, to pray through these things, to one, thank God for them. Recognize these are gifts. It's like Christmas morning getting to unwrap, like, the Holy Spirit has gifted these things to you. And now the question is, how do you leverage them? How do you say, okay, here's two or three things where I know God has called me to certain things, and just run hard after them. Look for opportunities to exercise these gifts. Back at your campus ministries, actively look for ways to do the things at RUF, at Vanderbilt. How are ways that you can leverage administrative gifts? How are ways that, what can I do to help make things happen behind the scenes, or to do follow-up stuff like you're even doing this week with us? You know, whatever it is, thinking, okay, here's the ministry, where do opportunities intersect with my gifts, and then just run at those places. And that's where we'll see the most fruit kind of spring up, is where we're in tune with what the Spirit's doing. Any questions about that?
How are yours?
So my highest are teaching, and then knowledge and wisdom, and then discernment and shepherding are the other ones that kind of show up on that. So.
Yeah. So a question I have, though, is since I had the same problem when I was doing this, of evangelism and apostleship being low. And with the knowledge, you know, as you're saying, that you have to do, you know, evangelism is a key thing. And when you're not gifted in that way, and you're maybe, in my mind, over allocated into the discipleship, you know, the already Christian people. Mm-hmm. And this goes into what Taylor was teaching, you know, on Tuesday, which is, you know, it's so easy to just, you know, this person already is interested in Christ, so let's just feed that. How do we make sure, I mean, since I'm not a natural into going into the evangelism aspect, I mean, do we just grab the teachers and you know, whoever is the evangelist, and you just push them into that place? Or?
I mean, in some way, so, and this is the other thing, like when we talk about gifts growing up organically, I think responding in obedience and prayer, and just being, I mean, the simple things of the commands of Scripture, of being a good neighbor and of loving people, and in some ways, evangelism is one of the areas that it atrophies almost in us, because we just, it atrophies in me when I just separate myself from people that are far from Jesus. And so in some ways, when we talk about the gifts growing up organically, and we talk about being obedient, responding to God, like, just love people. Love your neighbors. Like, actively love them. Get to know them and take them brownies. You know, like, whatever. Or, I mean, like, get to know people. Have them over for dinner. Like, and there's some of these places where, I mean, I don't think it's just, and maybe it is finding someone with the gift of evangelism. Like, I had a buddy up in Massachusetts, the most gifted evangelist I've ever been around. Like, he rarely goes anywhere where he doesn't talk about Jesus, and oftentimes has people, like, I went to meet him for dinner at P.F. Chang's one night. He and his wife, Ashley and I, were going to go meet him, and we were like 10 minutes late. And we walk in, and he's leaning over at the table next to him, like praying with this guy to accept Jesus, because he had 10 minutes. So it's like, why wouldn't I lead this guy over our wontons to Jesus? Like, that's just what he does. And so for me to spend time with him and to go down and hang out in the city and to walk around and like see the, that was really good for me. It pressed me into places that I wouldn't go otherwise. So there's part of that, like partner with somebody. I think it's why Jesus sent them out two by two. Like, it's never just a you on an island thing. But also just if we respond obediently, loving people, generally, genuinely loving people, we'll find ourselves in those moments where the Spirit will start breathing life into those gifts, and you know, and it can grow over the years as we, you know, become accustomed to that. Yeah, evangelism is an interesting one, because it certainly is throughout the New Testament. Like, we are all called to be on mission, and so, and in some ways, it's, you know, if anything, I think it's kind of, it can be encouraging to score really low and go, okay, God, like, I don't feel like there's anything in me naturally that just makes me do this, but the Lord will be made perfect in our weakness, and so we still step out and do it. True. Any other thoughts?
Should we, like, especially for us, since we're all so young and our futures are, like, still planning and stuff,
And I guess, you know, but should we try and align ourselves with our gifts? Like, if we put ourselves? Because, I mean, you look at you, and your gifts are teaching, and so it makes sense that you're a preacher, and, I mean, shepherding, it makes sense. But, like, for some other people, you know, their gift might be hospitality, like this guy. Like, should he pursue something where hospitality can be glorified best through, like, his actions?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And, yeah, absolutely. And I think finding ways in the church, in campus ministries, and then also in ways to lean that direction in whatever your calling in life is, let these things factor into it. Where are ways that I can be hosting, having people in my home or your place, and, you know, making new people feel welcomed at a ministry, or freshmen who are moving out to Pepperdine, to make them feel like they've got a home and they're loved, and, like, actively practice hospitality. That's one of the ways you're going to see fruit produced, is because you have the mercy gifts to see what's going on in their hearts, you have the desire to service and help and to welcome them in. All of a sudden, that's a community builder. Like, I noticed that right off, like, on our retreat. You help make connections, you put people at ease, you bring people in, and so it's those sorts of things. It's using your leadership gift in Bucks and some of these other things, like, how can I lead out? How can I,
I was talking about when I was in high school, I went and did the Johnson O'Connor testing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was 2 days of just a whole array of building blocks and listening to music, and higher, lower, words being flashed up, and then having to remember words, all these different things, trying to identify my quality traits. And I remember them saying, and it seemed like, gosh, this isn't rocket science. They said there are things about you, if you aren't doing them, you'll just be miserable, because that's how you're wired to be. And they talked about a guy just trying to figure out what to do, and lo and behold, his dad was led an orchestra somewhere, and his mom was an opera singer, and they had gotten to this because he had perfect pitch at hearing. He could hear things no one else ever had heard in any of their tests. And they said, you are wired for music. And they directed him into the music business, into recording, and, you know, there's all gazillion different things you could do.
Huh.
And I thought, there really is a lot, and this is, I get on a quick soapbox to say, I think parents do a bad job today, can do a bad job of telling their kids, we know you better than anybody else. This is things that you're good at. This is what the world is like. These are things you should go think about going into. Now, that being said, you may say, I suck at administration. You cannot say, well, thank goodness I have Taylor along to pick up the slack in that. There's a lot of these things where you need to be competent in them and look for opportunities to do that. You may not be your strong card, but you need to be competent. Evangelism, you need to be able to clearly share the gospel with someone should God present the opportunity. And not leave it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good word. Any other thoughts or feedback? Bill, did you get to your final?
I am pretty much done.
Let's hear it.
My highest was actually apostleship. But those were kind of slanted because I don't know, it was about cross-cultural things.
Not slanted. Why would you choose to go to Wales and step out?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Your willingness to go across the world as a junior in high school is because you have the gift of apostleship. So don't let yourself think this is slanted or this is based on some... That's part of how you're wired, that God has given you that gift, that a lot of us would flounder at 16, 17, going across the world. And the fact that you've gone and you've not just gone, but you've gone and you've flourished, is evidence that God has gifted you in a way that He hasn't gifted most of us. So don't downplay that. That is apostleship. That's huge.
And then the next ones are three-way tie, which is wisdom, prophecy,
yeah. So it's a high calling, man. You've got a gift set that allows you to step out and to lead well because of the wisdom and discernment. And we talk about communities galvanizing around leaders. This is why everywhere you go, you've been a leader. You've been president of class, president of the world, or world college, or whatever you're doing. That you're a leader that people galvanize around. They don't know what to call it, most of them, but what we would say is gifted by the Spirit for these purposes. And so it comes with responsibility, and oftentimes the ones who are out front are making decisions first that others are going to have to deal with the consequences of. And so you, among all of us, are one that's going to have to root yourself so deeply in the Lord, because if you're going to, if people with other giftedness are going to be galvanizing around you and allowing you to help direct the steps of the group, you got to know your footing is sure. And that's one of the gifts you're going to give to the group. Like, a lot of our gifts will be leveraged more fully around people like you, because it's like, oh yes, I've got a direction and aim for places that I can put my hand in the pot, so to speak. So, yeah, it's cool. Praise God for what He's given you, man. And not by your own doing. It's the whole idea of gifts. That's for all of us. It's not by your own doing. Remind yourself often. It's not because you're good or accomplished, or it's because the Holy Spirit has given it as a gift. You guys remember this book? You still got it? Everybody know where it is? Mm-hmm. Under your bed somewhere? Or this is the week where we bust back out. The next 2 weeks, we're going to be digging into this. What you've got in front of you is our first sheet dealing with prayer. I'm trying to think. So it's 7:16 currently. I'll make a couple comments about this, a couple comments about the sheet, and then we'll just finish with some time of prayer. Andrew Murray, I think, is like a Christian Jedi. Like, whenever I really just slow down and sit with stuff he's written, I feel like the Spirit is dealing with me in ways that, like, in very few other, like, non-extra-biblical sources. And it's not rocket science. A lot of stuff won't be, like, brand new stuff, but just slow down and like, he was a very deep-spirited man. He, like, knew the Lord in ways that I longed to. And so, my encouragement, so your homework over the next 2 weeks is going to be two of these a day. They're broken into like day one, day two, day three. I think we flipped through this together. You saw that. So, like, I think it's on the calendar for tomorrow. You do day two and day three, because we did day one together on the retreat. I would encourage you in your morning time with the Lord, when you get up and you're reading your Bible and you're spending time in prayer in the morning, do one of them and do another at bedtime and let them sit on you. Like, don't let it sit until next Wednesday night and think I've got to read up to day 15. You just lose so much of the beauty and the power of what's going on here. And the way that the book is set up, that every day is a teaching of Jesus about prayer, that he's slowing down in and, like, calling us to pray through. And just has proven for my own prayer life to just continually reshape and challenge and push my prayer life deeper. So starting tomorrow, morning and evening, slowly and prayerfully, just read through this. Let it sit on you. I think it'll be really encouraging for your prayer life. And I just love the thought of it with Christ in the school of prayer, that Jesus gave lots of lessons on prayer to his disciples, and so he's just centering on those and going, it's as if we're going to go take Jesus's course on prayer. What does Jesus have to say about prayer? Teach me. And it's just good. It's good. So on the sheet, what you have in a sense is the highlights of what you'll be reading over this week. The first kind of 14 lessons that he's going to hit on. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, because this is what you're going to be reading and praying through. I'll just highlight a few things real quickly, and then I'd rather us just get on our knees and finish the morning in prayer before you guys head out. So much good stuff. I'll just fly through. One, he's going to make the argument tomorrow morning when you read it, that it grows out of worship, that ultimately prayer is not an activity distant or different from worship, but it grows out of genuine, real connection with God. where we're spending time loving and adoring Him, that's where conversation comes from. In the same way that as you grow deeper in relationship with a friend, that the natural inclination is, I want to talk to them, I want to share my heart with them, that it grows out of deep-spirited worship of God. And so if our prayer life is stale, dead, one of the questions is how are you prioritizing your worship of God, your relational connection and adoration of who God is? That will fuel the way that your prayer life has power and energy. Secret prayer, he's going to talk about the importance of having a spot where you go where nobody sees you. It's not the only way we pray, but it's a big way we pray. Jesus says, go into the closet, shut the door, and be alone with God. Ian Bounds in the thing that we read on the retreat talks, I don't know if it was in that chapter or later on in the book, but he says that the measure of a man is who he is alone on his knees. That is the measure of a man, that nobody else is going to be able to point to it. Nobody else is going to be. It's totally humbling work, silent, alone, but the importance of going away and being alone with God, that it's a faith increaser. It changes us. That's where we're shaped. And so do you guys have that time and space? That it's good to pray throughout your day. It's good to pray in your car on the way to work. It's good, all those sorts of things. But oftentimes we let prayer be something that takes place only in frantic, frenetic places where we're... Do you have a place where you cut it all off? You shut it down and you're alone with God. It needs to happen. Secret prayer. So you'll talk about that. We are sons. We can come with the confidence of sons to our Father. And it's two below that. Not only is He our Father, but He is a good dad that knows how to give good gifts. I hope the weight of that sits on you this week. Like, that's something that has just been changing the way that every time I sit down and start to pray, it's like, oh my goodness. God of the universe and my Father who knows me and loves me and wants to give me good things. And some of you, even in your life stories, have identified struggles with your Father. Some of you, your dad hasn't spoken openly and freely about His love and care for you. And this is one of the places where you've got to let the Scriptures reshape the way that you think about God, that He's a good dad who loves you and knows you and wants to give you good things. And so let the fact that we can pray to Him as a Father be a compelling and a comforting thing. We can come with confidence. This is something that will challenge your faith this week. When you look at some of the teachings of Jesus where He says, ask with full confidence that you're going to receive. And there's a couple of those that are going to hit on that that continue to wrestle with my faith. And we'll talk about that next week, what that's doing in your prayer life. We're going to see that when we ask for all these things, it says that we're asking and asking and asking, and it says He knows how to give good gifts, and He says He will give freely of the Holy Spirit to you. That the Spirit is the good gift that God gives in response to our asking. That oftentimes we think we need something else, and we just need more of God in the situation. So we'll get to pray through that. I'll just highlight a couple others. One that's been challenging to me is this idea of motivated by the harvest. Pray that God would send workers. Are you so motivated by the lost around you, by the lost on your college campus, people who are running from Jesus, that you actually pray, maybe it's not you, but that God would be raising up people to love them and speak the word to them? That this is where Jesus looks out, and the imagery is compelling because they're probably up on a hill overlooking the city at this point. And I've heard one scholar say that at this point, a lot of people were wearing turbans, or they would wear these white things on their head that are turban-like, and such that you can imagine that the setting when Jesus is teaching His disciples, look, the harvest is white. It's ready for the picking. That the imagery very well might be that they're sitting on the city looking out over a sea of people who literally have white on their heads, that He's just looking at a sea of humanity that is all marked by white, and He's going, look, the harvest is white and ready for the harvest. Are you praying that God will send workers? Are we so motivated by people that don't know the Lord, that are far from God and missing out on true life, true joy, that we would actually be motivated in our prayers to pray that God would raise people up for that harvest? It's one of the things we'll get to pray through. I love this. We must have an aim. He looks at the blind man. He says, what do you want me to do? What is it that you would have me to do? That Jesus looks at a blind guy. Obviously, the blind guy's request as he's calling out to Jesus is going to be, give me sight. But Jesus wants to hear a clear, straightforward request that has an aim. Do you pray in that sort of way? Do you have aim to your prayer? God, I'm longing to see this happen. Would you come and move here? Or do we just pray aimlessly and broadly? That's a challenge this week. And then one other one. I'll just talk about the fasting cures unbelief. I love that we've kind of had, some of us, it was our first taste of fasting together. There's a scenario where the disciples are trying to cast a demon out of the sky and they can't. And Jesus comes down and goes, you faithless generation, like, what's the deal? And then they pull him aside later and they're like, why couldn't we do it? He said, it's your unbelief. And he said, this one was only going to come by fasting and prayer. And so he identifies unbelief as being their struggle. And he says that what had to have happened would that you would be fasting and praying. And that we see that one of the teachings Jesus is giving about prayer, that where our faith is wavering, where we are pressed in a situation where we go, I struggle to believe that God can or will show up. I struggle to believe that he's good in this situation. All I can see is the trouble and the problem and the heartache, and I can't see the hope of God moving. One of the gifts we're given in our prayer life is to pause and to fast and pray. And so you'll get to talk about some of that too. United Prayer Unlocks Power, where two or more agree that you see things happen. And this is something we talked about at the beginning of the summer, John, that both the power of praying alone, but then also in community, that in communal prayer, we see it all throughout Acts. When they join together and pray, God shows up in a powerful way and unlocks things. So anyway, that's a real brief highlight, but I just think it's silly to talk and talk and talk and not pray. So let's just pause and finish by praying. What I'd love for us to do, just grab a partner first. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. Yeah, so everybody has one partner. I'll be a Cleary and just partner with the person next to you. Let's take 5 minutes. Each of you pray for one another and pray for your day. And let's just start calling out to God. If there's anything pressing on you this morning, just lift it up to God. And then I'll close this in about 5 or 6 minutes. But I want everybody actually to pray. Everybody in the room needs to pray and talk to God. Anything I can pray for you?
Just like my kind of sickness. That's like one of the, it's just like that I don't get lost in the room. Just lose sight of God.
Cool. And if you would, I'm going to be preparing for Sunday, for preaching today. So just pray that I'll be in preparation, that I'd be emptied of myself. So, yeah, I'll open for and so, Lord, we do just thank you for this time to pray, and I ask that even as we go from this place, that you would just continue to help us be prayerful people, and that you would sink this deep into our hearts this week to make us men who pray. Make us men who pray. Help us to realize that the measure of our lives is who we are alone on our knees. God, help us not to put our hope in the fact that we've read a theology book, that we think we know answers. God, I pray that our confidence would be in you, that we would be humble and empty men who start our days, who finish our days, and whose days are marked by conversation with the living God. Make us men who pray. We beg this of you, God, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.